From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Lexi Krupp, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Tuesday, December 10th, and here are today's headlines. Some House Democrats are publicly calling for the ouster of House Speaker Jill Krowinski. Krowinski is facing a challenge for the position from Dover Independent Laura Sebilia. At a Democratic caucus in Montpelier over the weekend, Tunbridge Representative John O'Brien said the party's brutal losses on Election Day mean it's time for a change in leadership at the top.
We've become the party that raised property taxes 14%. We've become the party that's synonymous with unaffordability.
A majority of House Democrats support Krowinski's candidacy. But it's unclear if she'll have enough votes in her own caucus to win the race without support from Republicans and independents. State agriculture officials are scrambling to get a new milk testing procedure in place after the USDA last week said every state will have to test its dairy supply for the virus that causes bird flu. That's with the virus spreading to cows in more than 15 states this year, sickening dozens of people. E.B. Flory is with the State Agency of Agriculture and says federal officials will release more information this week on the testing program.
There's an agreement that needs to be in place for the sampling, and then a piece that needs to be in place if there is a positive.
More than 700 dairy herds, mostly out west, have tested positive for the disease. Senator Peter Welch says he won't vote against President-elect Trump's cabinet nominees just because he disagrees with their policies. But he is concerned about Trump's law enforcement picks for a separate reason. That includes FBI director nominee Kash Patel. Welch says he's worried Patel has talked about seeking retribution against individuals he's falsely accused of helping steal the 2020 election from Trump.
And of course, we've seen during the campaign a lot of rhetoric about going after political enemies and using the prosecutorial power of the government to go after political enemies. That's got to be absolutely off the table.
Welch says he's applying the same standard for Attorney General nominee Pam Bondi. There's no evidence of widespread fraud from the 2020 election. And the University of Vermont men's soccer team has advanced to their first ever NCAA College Cup with a 2-0 win over Pittsburgh last weekend. UVM forwards Max Kissel and Yaniv Bassini both netted second-half goals to push the Catamounts to the win. The College Cup is held in Cary, North Carolina, and features the four remaining teams in the Division I men's soccer tournament. The Cats will face off against the University of Denver on Friday evening. The other semifinal match features Marshall University taking on tournament number one seed Ohio State. Coming up, we learn about a new animal advocacy program at Vermont Law and Graduate School. That's after this.
And Gills Point S Tire and Auto Service, offering tire and brake service, oil changes, and state inspections. Online at gillspointstire.com. The Frequency is sponsored by the Autosaver Group's year-end sales event going on now at all 15 dealerships in Vermont and Western New Hampshire. Savings on their entire lineup, from trucks, SUVs, and EVs to fuel-efficient cars and family-friendly models. Inventory from all stores at autosavergroup.com.
For decades, Vermont Law and Graduate School has taught courses on animal rights and welfare. In 2021, the school officially launched the Animal Law and Policy Institute. Now, the school is offering an advanced degree for practicing lawyers to deepen their animal advocacy skills. The school says it's only the second program of its kind in the country. The first four fellows arrived in South Royalton this fall from all over the world. Delcy Winders directs Vermont Law and Graduate School's Animal Law and Policy Institute, and she recently joined Vermont Public's Jen Jarecki to share more about the program.
So to get us started, what do we mean when we say animal welfare and animal rights? There is a sense that there is a division, that there's a binary between animal welfare and animal rights. And the argument goes, animal rights are focused on the interests in animals, the animals' interests in their own well-being, dignity, etc. Whereas welfare is sort of focused on human interest in treating animals okay while we use them, but that it carries with it a notion that it's okay to use them so long as we treat them as well as possible in doing so. And so there are different perspectives on whether or not this is a continuum or not. I try really hard to approach it broadly and to accommodate students who come with any position on what I do tend to see as more of a continuum. And I think advocating for welfare can ultimately lead to rights in certain circumstances.
Delcy, you've been with VLGS's Animal Law and Policy Institute since the beginning. Can you briefly walk us through its history?
The Institute launched in 2021 when I was recruited to join the faculty to start the animal law program. And I brought with me our associate director, Laura Ireland. We both had experience in Lewis and Clark's animal law program. Laura was instrumental in starting a lot of that programming, and I founded and directed the Animal Law Litigation Clinic there.
What types of classes are taught at the Animal Law and Policy Institute, and what are some of its program's aims?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty broad array of classes. We're the fastest growing animal law program in the country, probably in the world. So we're adding classes all the time. So we've got your core animals and the law class. And then we've got a lot of more specialized classes. So we've got a class on undercover investigations. We've got a class on science and animal law. We've got wildlife law. We have the law of animals in agriculture. The list goes on and on. And our mission is to train the next generation of animal advocacy leaders while centering animals in the fight for environmental protection and environmental justice.
Delcy, I'd love to turn to this new fellowship program. I understand 4 practicing lawyers from around the world are at VLGS for the next year. Can you tell us who they are and what they're doing?
Absolutely. We've got 4 amazing people. So we've got Carlos Contreras, who is originally from Colombia. He's licensed to practice in Colombia. He's also licensed to practice in Spain, and he had a practice in Spain where he worked on a very high-profile case on behalf of a whistleblower and has come to Vermont Law Graduate School to study. He's focused on American legal studies so that he can sit for the bar exam in New York and practice animal law in the United States. And then we have Lana Nodge, who is an Australian attorney who has practiced in Australia for many, many years. She's focused on money laundering issues, things like that, but has increasingly wanted to dedicate her practice to animal law. And so she's focusing on that with us. And then we have Pius Ubenye, who is a Nigerian lawyer who, as a practicing lawyer in Nigeria, got to do some wildlife law work and decided that he really wants to focus on animals. So this is the theme here. And so he's joined us to focus entirely on animal law and develop expertise there. And then we have Annette Sika, who is originally from Canada, but has been living in Alabama and is, again, has practiced for many years, primarily focused on human rights issues, but wants to focus on animal issues and go back to the Deep South where there's so much need for that work.
Delcy, you've taught animal rights law around the country. You also directed the world's first law school clinic dedicated to farmed animal advocacy. Why move your family across the country for this program? And how are you finding Vermont?
It was not an easy decision. I had a great job at Lewis and Clark. But really, the opportunity to start a program at such a special institution was too good to turn down. So I had been teaching in the summer program at Vermont Law Graduate School for a few years. So I knew how special it was. I knew that it's a mission-driven institution. It's not just a school with really strong programs. It's a school where those programs, which are focused on the public interest, are at the heart of the identity of the school. And I also knew that it had this long history of animal law, going back to offering one of the very first animal law classes in the world, and that students had been pushing for more offerings for many years. So it just seemed like the perfect opportunity, too good to give up. And so I took a giant leap.
Well, sticking with Vermont for a second, Delcy, this past year, lawmakers cleared the way for an animal welfare division within the Department of Public Safety. Can you talk about the significance of this move here in Vermont and how it compares to some of the other states you've worked in?
So this came about because there was a sense that the animal protection laws were spread out across a lot of different agencies for enforcement. And so that ended up with a lot of uncertainty as to who was responsible for certain things. And it ended up with things falling through the cracks, sometimes with finger pointing. And that's common. We see that in all of the states. We also see that very much at the federal level. And so something I've been urging at the federal level for a while now is the creation of an animal protection agency. And I think we need that at the state level as well. And I think this is a step in that direction. And I'm very excited about it. We don't have a person in that position yet. So it's something to keep an eye on and see how it goes. But I think it could be a model for the rest of the country.
That was Delcy Winders, who directs the Animal Law and Policy Institute at Vermont Law and Graduate School, speaking with Vermont Public's Jen Jarecki. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Howard Weiss-Tisman, Bob Kinzel, and Nathaniel Wilson. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Lexi Krupp. Talk to you next time.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.